بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. ما بعد، اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، رب اشرح لي صدري يسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. أبونا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. For your kind du'as, I feel much better from yesterday. I hope yesterday even made sense. Sometimes when you're speaking, sometimes it doesn't feel like it's coming out the right way because of sickness. So I ask Allah to give shifa for the entire world, cure all of us from all of our sicknesses, both internal and external. That way we can be as productive as we'd like to be, inshallah. So I just want to recap a little bit what we spoke about yesterday. So first and foremost, about Shu'aib alayhi salam, again, he's known as the speaker or the khatib of the prophets alayhi salam. If you're talking about the person who would give the bayan, it'd be Shu'aib alayhi salam. The speech would be given by him. The people of Madian, they themselves are businessmen. So you'd note that the way that Shu'aib alayhi salam speaking is like a businessman. And then we also see the deep connection between the people of Madian and the people of Makkah, because the same way the people of Shu'aib alayhi salam were businessmen, the people of Makkah were also businessmen. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you're noticing the way Islam speaks as well, it's all with, there's a bunch of numbers behind things. You know, people ask, what is the reward for this? What is the reward for that? And so it's like the same way we think about profit and loss. Everyone is always thinking about, what can I gain by doing this? If I memorize an ayah of the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it's worth more than 100 rakats of prayer, right? Subhanallah. Or the fact that if I read subhanallah 100 times a day, 1,000 sins will be forgiven. Or the fact that if I learn a chapter of knowledge in Islam, then a person will receive 1,000 rakats of prayer. You know, Laylatul Qadr is worth more than 1,000 months. It's because of this business mentality that all of us have ingrained inside of us. And we all think in terms of numbers. Can you give me a number behind it so I can understand the value of something? So Shu'aib alayhi salam is also speaking to them like that. I just want to give you that quick highlight about how he speaks. Don't decrease, fulfill. You know, permanent rewards, you know, permanent investment, you know. وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِحَفِيظٍ. You're noticing throughout his speech, he's using business terms. Because again, he's speaking to people who are thinking only in terms of money, in terms of profit and loss, right? And so even the last statement, وَمَا أَنَا عَلَيْكُمْ بِحَفِيظٍ, I just want to give you an idea about what the word hafiz means. Hafiz in Arabic can be used for protection. Like a person who's the hafiz of the Quran is someone who protects the Quran. And it's also the idea of keeping track, being aware of where a person is. So when I'm a hafiz of like a house, right? I'm a guardian of a house. I'm keeping track of everything that's happening within the house. I know who's coming in and out. That's the way of keeping track. Shu'aib alayhi salam is telling them at the end. He says that, look, the investment, the permanent investment is with Allah. If you are believers, I can't keep a track of you. I can't protect you. In this way, he reminds them of two things. Number one is that I'm not the one who's going to give you your reward at the end. Allah is going to give you the reward. I can't keep track of that. And second thing is that if the punishment of Allah comes, look, you guys have to become Muslims. Like, it's not a joke here. If the punishment of Allah comes, I can't do anything for you. And in a subtle way, the word hafiz also means accountant. And I told you the idea of like having that business sense. He's speaking in all in terms of finance. So the word hafiz would also be used for accountant, someone who takes account of everything. Look, I can't keep a track of your finances here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do all of that. So he's telling them, look, I'm not going to do anything. Allah will do everything. The business investment is this, that you have something permanent, you have something temporary in this world. These temporary things will fade at the end. Everything will extinguish. Everything will disappear. On the flip, if you were to do things for Allah, you learn for Allah, you study for Allah, you remember Allah, you worship Allah, you'll find that everything you do will remain with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah is permanent. So he's telling them, make the proper business decision. Make the proper investment. Beautiful bayan so far. So everyone would agree if there's something permanent, I think we'd all agree to go after that. It would make total sense. If it's truly something that will remain forever, everyone would always choose something which is permanent versus something which is temporary. If I'm only in a place for a couple of hours, I would tell myself that, man, this is great, but someone told me that I could live here for thousands of years. Who would ever choose the place for a couple of hours versus thousands of years? We're in this world for only 70, 80 years or so. How could a person ever think that living this life up and doing what I want here is better than the hereafter, where a person will live forever and they'll never die and it's all happiness? I think we'd all make that proper decision if we just came to terms with ourselves, inshallah. Okay, so this is the response that the people give to Shu'aib alayhi salam. قالوا يا شعيب. They said, oh Shu'aib, أصلاتك تأمرك أن نترك ما يعبد آباؤنا أو أن نفعل في أموالنا ما نشاء إنك أنت الحليم الرشيد. Right? Ajib response they give. They said, oh Shu'aib, does your prayer command you that we should leave what our fathers used to worship? It's telling you to make us leave what our fathers used to worship? Or is it telling you that we should not deal with our wealth as we please? Okay, so they are mentioning two things here. And I want to break it down for everyone so you can understand this. This prayer, they're making a very interesting point here. They're saying, this prayer you're telling, you know, this prayer that you're doing, this ruku and sujood, you know, you're praying whatever number of times in the day, as much as maybe Shu'aib alayhi salam's people used to do. You're praying, and this prayer is telling you, this magical prayer is telling you now that we don't follow our forefathers. Is that what you're telling us, Shu'aib? Or is your magical being that you're talking to, this God you're talking to, is he telling you that we cannot use our money like we want? When people say that, you know, we can't find the example of atheism in the Quran, I say that you're just not looking hard enough. Literally, the people Shu'aib are telling them, is telling Shu'aib that, hey Shu'aib, you know, you're worshiping this thing. Is this being telling you now that we can't live the way we're living anymore? Oh, now we can't use our money like we want anymore? Oh, there are restrictions now, the rules now? Right? Are you really telling us that we can't use our money the way we see in terms of profit? You know, because what we're going to do is we're going to make business. We're going to, you know, when they come into our stores, we're going to give them less and they're going to give us money. We're actually making so much profit here. And we can gamble. We can have riba, right? We can do interest. We can do all these things. You're telling us now this magical being you're talking to, someone up there who's telling you now that, oh no, we have rules here. Really? Okay? Shu'aib, we actually think you're actually asking us to become poor. This is what they're telling him, saying that this magical prayer you're doing, we don't even believe in it. We don't know who you're talking to. It could be some holy ghost, you know, it could be some devil, you know. And the idea is that what? That he's telling us, this God is telling us, number one, that our forefathers were all wrong. And number two is what? Now we can't make our investments like we used to. You're legitimately telling us, oh Shu'aib, that we're going to become poor. And this is the same thing, by the way, that I tell you, it hits home because of the fact that when we ask people to donate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or rather, let's not even say donate. Donate is such an ajeeb word, you know. Let's use the word invest, you know, because that's what it is. When you're giving sadaqah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you're investing, you know, when you're giving this wealth, you're investing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And investment is what? It's going to grow. It's going to profit. It's going to give you back major rewards. You're going to get back major gains. There's so many dividends behind this. Sadaqah in Islam is such a great thing. When a person gives sadaqah, the Prophet said that first and foremost, it extinguishes the anger of Allah. So any place in life where you find that things are against you, all that would extinguish. Your wife will love you, your children will love you, your husband will love you. Everything around you will start to fall in love with you. Because why? Because the anger of Allah is gone. Nothing in life, if Allah loves someone, then obviously everything in life will love you too. The Prophet ﷺ said that a person who gives sadaqah, مَرْضَاكُمْ بِالصَّدَقَةِ, that treats your sick through sadaqah. People will receive shifa because of sadaqah. The Prophet ﷺ is told in the Quran, take from their wealth some sadaqah, so that way you can purify them. People's sins are forgiven because of sadaqah. You know, sadaqah will bring down more money from Allah. مَا نَقَسَ مَالُ عَبْدٍ مِنْ صَدَقَةٍ. The Prophet ﷺ said, a person's wealth is never diminished by sadaqah. When people give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're making an investment. Forget about it. We use the word donate, and I feel like people are like, oh, it hurts. Invest, because that's what it is. So when people look at these things, they think Islam is limiting them. Don't take riba. Don't buy that house on riba. You know, don't do this. Don't do usury. Don't gamble. People are thinking Islam is trying to hurt them, whereas Islam is protecting them from the worst harms in the world. What is the greatest harm? That you come at war with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I tell you that one Jumu'ah I gave, and I still remember it, after I talked about riba, someone came up to me after the Jumu'ah and said that, I don't really think riba is haram. I was like, man, I want to slap you right now. Like, I can't understand how a person even, they said that, no, there's a different opinion, there's a different discussion. I said, brother, do you really want to go to war with Allah as a messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam? Do you really want to fight Allah? You know, the people, what is the interpretation of this on the in terms of tafsir? Is that on the day of judgment, when the businessmen will come up who used to do riba, anyone who did riba, they will be given swords and they'll be given weapons and say that you are at war with Allah, here's your weapons, go fight Allah now. And to the point that these people will say, we cannot fight Allah. They said, there's no way we can fight God. So they'll just slit their own throats. Can you imagine that? I'm giving you this point because, you know, the way the people Shu'aib are talking is if this prophet is trying to rob them. trying to steal them, trying to, you know, take money away from them, take away from their investments. Whereas he's trying to make them the richest people in the world, the wealthiest people in the world, are the people of Jannah. When you enter Jannah, that is true wealth. That is real wealth. You're talking about money that never goes away. Gold and silver, riches, diamonds, pearls, everything you can imagine in Jannah. How could you ever say a person who enters Jannah is poor? La ilaha illallah. Every person who enters Jannah is a rich person. So they make fun of Shu'aib alayhi salam. What do they say? Innaka la antal halimur rashid. You are really the only man of patience and guidance. If you read this in a translation, you think that, wow, they're praising Shu'aib. You know, they are not praising Shu'aib. They just said, oh, Shu'aib, is your prayer really telling us to leave the way of our forefathers? And is your prayer telling us not to do with our wealth the way we want, the way our brains are telling us? Man, you're a really patient guy. And you're a really smart person, you know? And these are, by the way, the two qualities that you need to make a long-term investment. You need patience and guidance. You need to be guided to the right way. You need to be patient. I told you, this is all like a business discussion. It's all, if you know business terms, you're just like, okay, they're just talking about business things in reality. They're making a joke of him. How so? They're accusing, first and foremost, of disrespecting their ancestors. Shu'aib, you're a really patient guy. You're really thinking that you're going to make all of us angry and all of us are upset and you're just going to be smiling in the corner and just being like, wow, look how patient I am. You're a fool. They're telling him, they're telling the prophet of their time, you're a fool. You're thinking of disrespecting everyone and you're just going to sit in the corner and just pretend like you're a patient guy. You're thinking like we're going to change. Wow, what a really good thing to be patient when the entire community hates you. You know, sarcasm. And then you're going to force us to lose money. Oh, Shu'aib, wow, really smart guy, really guided guy here. Wow, look at this guy, man. Look at the investment he's making. Wow, he gave $1,000 to the masjid. Good job, man. Oh, man, you could have spent it on some cryptocurrency, man. But look at this guy. He thinks he's investing in something real. La ilaha illallah. He thought he bought a place in Jannah. You know, astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. And I feel like the sickness is in our hearts. We legitimately don't believe that when we give sadaqah, we're giving it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aisha radiallahu anha used to perfume any sadaqah that she should give to the poor. She used to give to the poor and then she would put attar on it or some type of fragrance on it, some type of perfume on it. And then they used to ask her, say, Aisha, why are you giving this like this? Aisha rather responded and said that I'm giving it like this because it's going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I wanted to go in the best way. You know, Aisha rather, whenever a poor person used to come to her door, after she used to give them something, they used to say, Jazakallah khairan. And Aisha used to say back to them, Jazakallah khairan. And so people asked Aisha, I said, Aisha, why are you repeating the same dua they're making for you? And she said that because I don't want that on the day of judgment that I lose any of my reward of sadaqah. So if they're going to make a dua for me, it could be that they paid me back a little bit. So I don't want them to pay me back at all. I want my full reward of my sadaqah. So in order to offset that or match that, I just say the same dua back so I don't lose any of my reward of sadaqah. These are amazing people. These are extraordinary people. How could you ever say Islam was trying to rob you? People will see how much they gave on the Day of Judgment. Really, all the investments will be brought together. And they will see how much Allah multiplied it. It's hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that the wealth that a person gives, it remains in the barakah of Allah Ta'ala and it will be grown in the hand of Allah. The same way a small little sheep is weaned and grown into its proper form and proper size. So the small sadaqah that a person gives, the Prophet says, Allah Ta'ala will grow it and invest it so it becomes the size of a mountain. And a person will see how much rewards they will receive on the Day of Judgment because of that honesty they have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they invested with Allah. This is the smartest move a person can make. And I have a lot of things to say about our Muslim community. And that's why I tell people, Islam is not about being poor. Islam is being aware of how to spend your wealth, about where do you spend it. And why to spend it? These are more important questions. So they accuse Shu'aib alayhi salam of being a fool. They say that you're impatient. They're not saying he's patient. They're saying you're being a fool. And they said that, look, you think you're guided. You're not the smartest person at all. You're clearly doing something which is so off track that there's no benefit in doing this. So Shu'aib alayhi salam has to respond. And this ayah is a large ayah. And it feels like 1,000 ayats in terms of its explanation. I tell you, when I look at this ayah, every single time, it brings tears to me because of the way Shu'aib alayhi salam speaks, the way he talks, everything that he speaks about. You can have an entire, like maybe 3 or 4 sessions on this bayan that Shu'aib alayhi salam gives, just on this one ayah. I'm going to do my best to summarize its points so that way you could understand what Shu'aib alayhi salam tells them. So this is going to be familiar from the beginning. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ. He says, oh, my beloved people, أَرَأَيْتُمْ, tell me, If I am on a clear proof from my Lord, this is probably familiar. If you've been here from the beginning, you probably notice Saleh, Hud, and every other prophet said the same exact thing. Nuh alayhi salam. If I'm on a clear proof from my Lord, وَرَزَقَنِيهِ مِنْهُ رِزْقًا حَسَنًا. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. He says, people, they love to bring up the forefather argument, right? When they don't want to listen to reason, they say that you're opposing our culture. You're going against everything. You're going to cause so much trouble in the community. Look at this, this isn't this. So Shu'aib alayhi salam basically, like Saleh alayhi salam says, look, the point isn't about forefathers. It's not about what my father did, what your father did. That's not what we're looking at. We're looking at truth. What is the reality of life? The reality of life is Allah created everything. Allah sent us into this world. Allah gave us a brain. Allah gave us eyes and ears. Allah gave us a mind to figure out that He is the one to worship. So like Saleh alayhi salam, like Hud alayhi salam, like Nuh alayhi salam, I'm telling you the same thing. It's not about following forefathers here. What we're following is the truth. We follow whatever the truth is telling us. And this is what our truth is telling us. Even in the depths of Manhattan, in the darkness of Manhattan, the Kaaba of Shaitan in that place, we still will find guidance with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah tells us this is the truth, if we understood it from our hearts, we'll see that we have to worship Allah. This is what we understand. So He tells them, look, I'm not being patient because I'm trying to upset you. There's no idea. You know, He follows with them. You call me Halim and Rashid, thank you. Thank you for calling me a patient person. And thank you for calling me someone who's guided. You know what happens when people are sarcastic with you? You want to get up immediately and hit them as hard as you can. Or yell at them or shout at them or become angry. Shu'aib alayhi salam is listening to them being sarcastic with him. And he's feeling happy that you're telling me these nice names. You know, like, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam. You know, when the wife of Abu Lahab would say, where is Mudhammam? Where is Mudhammam? You know, she would make fun of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's name. His name is Muhammad, right? So Muhammad means the praiseworthy. Mudhamma means the one who is disgraced or the wretched one, the despicable one. So she would say, where is Mudhamma? You know, making fun of his name. And so she wouldn't find him. It was a beautiful miracle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She was like trying to look for him. He was sitting right in front of her, but she couldn't see him. Allah Ta'ala put a barrier between her eyes and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so Abu Bakr talks to the Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, she couldn't see you. The Prophet said, yeah, the angel shielded me from her eyes. She was going to do something evil at that time. So the angel shielded me from her eyes. And then the Prophet says, why is she looking for Mudhammam? Who's Mudhammam? I'm Muhammad. You know, she wouldn't let these things bother her. She wouldn't let, as Prophet wouldn't let these things bother him. It wouldn't faze him. Same thing with Shu'aib alayhi salam. He hears his name's Halim al-Rashid. He says, wow, thank you for thinking I'm such a great person. You know? But look, I'm not being patient because I'm trying to upset you. There's no being a forbearing guy because of this. He's being patient because he knows that they are patients, you know? He knows that they are being treated. He is the doctor right now and they are the patients. He has the hospital. The hospital is the deen of Islam and he's trying to treat all of them. And so the pill that they have to swallow, the medicine that they have to swallow is the truth. And so when you are a doctor and you're treating patients, you have to be patient. You have to be patient. You have to wait. You have to, you know, they're going to get frustrated. They won't want to take the medicine. You know, we have children who don't want to listen to you. They're not going to want to take the medicine at all. So you have to be there trying to feed them every single moment when it looks like they're ready. Maybe I can feed them now. Maybe this is a good time. Maybe this is a good time. And if it's a very important medicine, you're not going to wait to give them that treatment. You're going to try as hard as you can and as quick as you can to feed them. But you'll be there waiting to give them the medicine and you'll always be there. And this is the job of people who practice deen. That sometimes it's not about trying to force feed Islam to people. Sometimes it's just about being there. There's a time when people will realize, you know, what is the job of the Mawlana in the masjid? The job of his job is what? That people will come. He's the gateway to Islam. People will come. He just has to be there. And sometimes we get frustrated with the people we're working with. We say we don't want to work with them anymore. We hate these people so much, you know. All right, fine, pack your bags and go. No problem. You pack your bags and go, what's going to happen? There's no more source of goodness in the world or in that area. And now shaitan will find dakhl. He'll find a way to come in. All his evils will come in and the community will get worse and worse. Whereas if you just stayed there, there are always good people in every community. Wallahi, there are always good people. And they're looking for guidance. You know, they're looking for help and insight. And as soon as you say, I'm done with these people and I'm leaving, then what do you leave them for? You leave them as prey for shaitan to come and devour them. Shaitan will come and eat everyone now because of the fact that you're no longer there. And sometimes we have to swallow that pill for ourselves. If we're on haqq, it means that we have to be patient. So Shu'aib alayhi salam says, I'm Halim because I have to be a doctor. I'm Tabib, you know? And so I have to wait for you guys. And what about the, so he's addressing the forefather issue. Look, guys, it's not about following forefathers. I'm following the truth. The second question, you're telling me that I'm going to make you lose money. I want to give you an idea here. وَرَزَقَنِيهِ مِنْهُ رِزْقًا حَسَنًا. He says, he has blessed me. رَزَقَنِي. Allah has given me sustenance. رِزْقًا حَسَنًا. Tremendous, extraordinary, excellent provisions from him. Allah has blessed me with wealth and fortune. Shu'aib alayhi salam was a wealthy individual, some scholars have said. Okay, this reflects the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah was not someone who was poor. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Makkah was a wealthy individual because he had Khadija radiallahu anha. And you and I know how wealthy Khadija radiallahu anha was, and she was 100% behind Islam. So no one could say the Prophet was poor in Makkah and that he was looking for the wealth of Quraysh. That could never happen. That's impossible. So Shu'aib alayhi salam reflects Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam there. So he goes and tells them that, look, I have money. You act like I want your money. You know, like, I'm not telling you to invest it with me. Give it to me and I'm going to be using it for my family and my kids and my stuff. I'm asking you to invest it with Allah. The Mawlana is not putting it in his own bank account. Like Allah, he's not asking for himself. He's asking so you can invest it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah ta'ala will grow it and you'll find it with Allah. This is the same thing every prophet has told every single one of their communities. Ma as'aluku alayhi min ajr. I'm not asking you for any payment. The same way Shu'aib alayhi salam says it in a more beautiful way. And I want to make this clear again, that who says Islam makes you poor? And if you say so, I think Sahaba radiallahu anhu would disagree with you. I think we could say that Islam asks you to live a more simple life and to spend less extravagantly. But does that mean that a person does not have lots of wealth or a huge income? I think Uthman radiallahu would disagree with you. Abdul Rahman bin Auf would disagree with you. Abu Bakr would disagree with you. Khadija radiallahu would disagree with you. You see that the Muslims of Makkah and Medina were wealthy individuals because they used their wealth for Islam. The only difference between us and them is that we're using our wealth for dunya and they're using it for akhirah. They're not just using it to invest in this world. They're trying to build a hereafter. And so they built everything as much as they could for the hereafter. That's why their wealth, they look like they were poorer in this world because of that. But if you're asking how much gross income or the capital of Umar radiallahu anhu or the capital of Abu Bakr, they were millionaires. They were multi-millionaires without a doubt. No one could ever have that doubt in their heart about them. But they were smart individuals. They said, if we have to make an investment, we'd rather make an investment where something is permanent versus something which is temporary. Okay? So I make that point to everyone. You know, sometimes we get upset that the Mulana will have a Ferrari or something. I'm like, let him have their, what? Alhamdulillah. Shu'aib alayhi salam was a wealthy individual. The Prophet alayhi salam had exquisite clothing. You know, I don't have enough time to go through this. But just note that people will pick a fault at anything. Even if you buy a house, people start saying, why does he have a house? Allah forgive us, you know? It may be that Shu'aib alayhi salam was saying that I have a lot of wealth from Allah. Allah's given me excellent halal wealth. You act like I want money from you guys. Second thing it might be is that rizqan hasana could be contentment. Qina'atan hasanatan, you know, having such happiness, you know, with Allah, no matter what you have in life, really, wallahi, if you are content, you have everything. Forget about what Bill Gates or Warren Buffett or whatever these guys have, these multi-billionaire guys, these amazing individuals in life, you know, they're generous people. May Allah grant them hidayah. I ask for hidayah for them and I hope they leave all their investments, haram investments, I mean. But the idea is that what? When you are content, you are the richest man in the world. You're the richest woman in the world. People say that I have this many dollars or this much bank account, whatever. That's great. I'm happy. Alhamdulillah. You know, you come to my place, you'll see I just have books and I'm happy with these books. I don't need anything else in life. You know, you act like, people like, what am I supposed to do with billions? Sometimes I think about it. Like, what am I supposed to do? I only can sleep in one bed. I only can feed one stomach. You know, the gas tank is only one in Shaquille, right? I only can fill up one tank. I only can sleep in one bed. I only can live in one house. I don't understand what you want for having thousands of all these things. What's the point? But Shu'aib alayhi salam saying, look, I'm very happy with Allah. You act like I asked you for any money. You know, like, what am I asking you for? I'm very happy, you know? And I tell everyone, just be happy with Allah. Because if you're happy with Allah Ta'ala, you're content, you have everything in the world. Forget about what the billionaires and trillionaires of the world have. Alhamdulillah, because you're happy, you have everything. And it might be the fact, Rizqan Hasana, he says to them, Shu'aib alayhi salam, saying, look, I have something even greater than everything you have in the world. You put the heavens and earth, you put all the seven heavens and seven earths, you put all of creation into one pan, and you put the blessing of prophethood in the other pan. The fact that I am a prophet is greater than everything in all of existence. Okay? And if you're thinking that's impressive, I want to tell you that the kalima la ilaha illallah, that people are believing in Allah, is greater than everything in the world and everything in all existence. There's nothing greater. So Shu'aib alayhi salam says, guys, you're acting like I want your money. But look, I have the most amazing product from Allah. Okay? He's talking to businessmen again. Rizqan hasana, in terms of provision, in terms of an import, something that came from Allah to me, an amazing product is what? Alhamdulillah, I'm happy for what Allah has given me, an excellent product. This is how you praise Allah. When you stand in salah, when you're there, Alhamdulillah, like that has to come out. I sometimes feel like people don't reflect on that. You know, just Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. I'm just so happy, Ya Allah. I can't be happier than I am right now. I'm just so content. You've given me everything I need in life. What else do I need? Family, wealth, kids, children, whatever. Alhamdulillah, I have everything. What else is there in dunya for me? You know, like, Alhamdulillah. Allah, I thank you that I can know you. I thank you that I can recognize you. I thank you that I know you, Ya Allah. You know, I'm so happy for these things. I thank you for Islam. I thank you for this knowledge. I thank you for the dhikr. I thank you for Ramadan. I thank you, Ya Allah. You know, this is how you thank Allah Ta'ala. You know, Shu'aib alayhi salam is going there and literally bragging, saying, Rizqan hasana. Allah has given me excellent stuff from him. An amazing thing from Allah. Alhamdulillah. This is how you praise Allah. We're learning from a prophet how to praise. So Shu'aib alayhi salam tells him, look, guys, I want you to think. You're smart people. If I have a clear reason from Allah, and I'm not poor, and I'm not looking for wealth or status, I'm not looking for anything, do you think that I'm doing this really? You know, and I'm not doing this except for concern? I have no benefit in it for myself. What do you think I'm doing it for? And he goes and says, وَمَا أُرِيدَ نُخَالِفَكُمْ إِلَّا مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْ. And I don't want to do the opposite of what I forbid you from. Okay? And this is a beautiful expression of basically saying that I don't tell you things, I don't tell you to do things, and I'm doing contrary, I'm doing opposite of that. Okay, it's not that I'm telling you to avoid riba and I myself am doing riba, or that I'm telling you not to gamble and I'm gambling, or I tell you to avoid zina and I'm doing zina. Okay, my actions match my speech, and this is a sign of a true Muslim, is that they try their best to do whatever they say. They always they say what they do and they do what they say. So Shu'aib alayhi salam is telling them, guys, I'm not calling to me. If you're thinking that this religion is about me, about Shu'aib alayhi salam, he's like, it's not about Shu'aib. It's not about Hud or Salih or Nuh alayhi wasalam. It's about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm a follower like you guys are followers. I'm not doing anything except what I tell you to do as well. And you have to believe me when I'm saying it's beneficial, because I'm doing it too. It's not like I'm telling you to avoid haram and I'm eating haram. You know, if that's the case, then the mullah needs to be taken down from the minbar right now. People act like when we tell them to avoid haram, it's like we're eating haram. You know, sometimes it astonishes me or shocks me how people get so aggressive or so upset, as if we're not doing the same exact thing as them. Guys, I know it's a rough boat right now, where it's a rocky ride. I'll tell you, wallahi, it's getting better. MashaAllah. Inshallah, it'll get even better in the future. You'll find so many avenues, so many halal blank, you know, so many halal restaurants, so many things. But you gotta ride the boat with me, the boat of Nuh alayhi salam. We're in this ark together. I'm not the one who's like riding in a yacht and I'm telling you guys, all right, suffer in the small little boat. We're all in this together, guys. And so this is the foundation of da'wah, is that you allow no one to fault you in your actions. No one should ever say that, why is he like, you know, he's telling us this, but why is he like that? Or why is he like that? It should always be that it's always the same. There should be some equilibrium or some symmetry between what you do and what you say. Everything should be the same. It should never be that they go and say that, oh, look at you, you're a bad person, and things like that. And that's why it's encouraging for us that when we tell people about certain sins, that we do it with this intention. Sometimes this question can happen, right? People say that, oh, what about those things that I don't do, right? But I tell people to do them, you know? Does that make me a hypocrite? I say, no, it only makes you a hypocrite when you have no intention of doing that action. So for example, if I tell someone to pray, and myself, I'm not praying tahajjud or things like that, I always make it with the intention, Ya Allah, make me a person who makes tahajjud, you know? But if you tell them with that intention that you'll never do it, then obviously, man, hypocrisy is not far from you. But if you are someone who tells people, at the same time, you hope that you can one day do it, then you're not a hypocrite, okay? And another way of reading this ayah, this part here, is that I'm not forbidding you because I just want to oppose you, you know? وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُخَالِفَكُمْ. I'm not forbidding you إِلَىٰ أَنْ مَا أَنْهَاكُمْ عَنْ just because I want to oppose you. Rather, it's the fact, you know, and you have to think about this. Why would an individual,
I'm just saying, like, 7th century Arab, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Why would an individual living in the lap of luxury, Banu Hashim, married to Khadija, you know, the one of the wealthiest women of all of Quraysh, if not the wealthiest, Allah Ta'ala knows. You know, why would a person who's lived such a great life, probably going to become the king of the Arabs, you know, in terms of his trajectory, about what he's going to be in, like, you know, age 50 or 60, he'd become the one who'd be the ruler of the Arabs. You know, Banu Hashim was the leaders of the Arabs. He would have ruled everyone, like his uncle, his grandfather Abdul Muttalib, you know. Then what happens one day? He comes out and tells everyone, I'm a messenger of Allah, come towards Allah, worship Allah. Who would ever in the right mind go through the stress, okay, if there was nothing in it for them? And this is why the Prophet ﷺ had lived the life of poverty at the end, because the Prophet ﷺ showed everyone that I can't accept zakat. I don't take zakat from you. I don't benefit from the wealth of the Muslims. Whatever Allah gives me is from his side, but things that you guys have, I cannot take. That's why the Prophet ﷺ could never take sadaqah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ lived in that small little home, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to show them that, look, there's nothing in it for me. I'm a person of akhirah. If you're doing 10% or 50% or even 100%, the Prophet of the time is doing 1,000 or 10,000% of what you're doing. Okay? He's going to live Islam on the highest degree, the highest caliber. So guys, sisters, brothers, who would ever go through the stress of everyone in the community hating them and abusing them and cursing them and calling them a magician, a madman, and making fun of them for them not having children, or laughing at them for their sons die? You know, why, who would ever go through the stress? And there's nothing in it for them. There must be something else. There must be the fact that they are true prophets. It's the fact that they're calling towards a true religion. So this beautiful expression of Shu'aib alayhi salam, he first and says, clear proof. That means he's happy with Allah, the good provision, he's happy with himself, and good actions, he's happy with the people. He's basically telling them in a nutshell with the three things that he's mentioned about, you know, clear proof, good provisions, and good actions, that I'm happy in every single direction, every single angle. These three things here. And so if you're telling me that I'm a patient and guided person, Jazakallah khairan. Thank you so much for telling me how patient I am and how guided I am, because I'm doing everything right. With my Allah, everything is straight. With myself, everything is straight. With my family, everything is straight. And with my community, I'm doing all the right actions, so I'm straight, you know? And so that's why he says that if you're asking me why I'm a patient person, it's because I'm doing everything right. I know the investment is in the right place. Now I just got to wait. It's going to grow. It's going to develop. And the same thing he tells them, that, look, I'm a guided guy. Everything I'm doing is on the right track. Thank you so much for telling me how great person I am. You know, sometimes they make fun of you. You'd say that, wow, look how pious you are. You know, people do that, right? When you start acting a little bit more religious, you grow your beard out, you wear a topi, you start looking more Islamic or more Muslim-like, whatever. Sister wears a hijab. Maybe she feels encouragement to her niqab. So she's like, then her family starts saying, look how she is now, you know? look how she's faking it, you know? Or look how pious she is. If they tell you how pious you are, say, Jazakallah. May Allah increase you as well. I know, mashallah, Allah has made me so great, you know? Alhamdulillah, you know? So, and if you're thinking, and he goes and says, Shu'aib alayhi salam, that when uridu illa al-islaha mustata'at, he goes to start to focus on himself. You know, he started to tell them, thank you for everything you said about me, but I want you to let you know something about myself. In uridu illa al-islaha mustata'at. He says, I don't want anything except to set things right as far as I can. As far as I can, as much as I can do, I want to set those things right. So if I can work on you, I will try. And I will try my best to work on you. If islah is written for you, if rectification, fixing you is there, the solution is there, alhamdulillah, I'll give it to you. If I can work on you, I will try. If I can work on my community, I will definitely try. And if I can work on the world, I will definitely try, you know? But if it's the case where I can't do anything, then I can at least work on myself as much as I can. Shu'aib alayhi salam is telling them, but don't think these qualities of patience and guidance just come from, oh, I wasn't doing anything. I was working on myself. When no one is there, no one is talking to me, no one is speaking to me, I was developing myself. You know, the Prophet ﷺ said about the greatest, one of the most amazing people is the faqih, is the one who has deep understanding of Islam. If people come to him and ask him questions, he can benefit them. And if no one is there to benefit, he can benefit or she can benefit herself. You know, the idea that I can always work on myself. There's so much you can do for yourself. Don't let it be that in life, okay, I don't find anyone to speak to anymore, then I don't talk to anyone. You can talk to yourself and you can read books, you can learn, you can develop yourself. And then the most important ayah, or the most important part, is this part. And this is the part that I wanted everyone to think about. Let's just take 2 more minutes, inshallah. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. This is actually part of Shu'aib alayhi salam's speech. He goes and says, my ability only comes from Allah. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. What does tawfiq mean? You know? Because he spoke about himself having patience and guidance. And you might think like, wow, that's kind of arrogant, isn't it? It's not arrogant. To be grateful to Allah that has given you is the highest level of showing shukr to Allah. When you can just say to, you know, you can talk about things that you have, and in your heart, you're just feeling grateful. You know, like, for example, your father leaves you behind a huge amount of wealth or inheritance when he passes away. You have all this money and you start telling everyone that, wow, I have all this wealth. But and in your heart, you're telling yourself, but I know my dad gave it to me. And you never forget that fact that my dad gave me everything. And same thing for us and our families. We always remind ourselves that our parents gave us so much. So what does tawfiq mean? When we say tawfiq, may Allah give you tawfiq. May Allah give you tawfiq. Tawfiq in Arabic means to match. It literally means to match. When you're putting like puzzle pieces together, you find the two pieces that fit together, right? This is what it means when you're doing tawfiq. So what does that mean? It basically means when you want something good for yourself, and Allah Ta'ala matches that and wants the same. When you say, may Allah give you tawfiq, it means that you want something great in life. And I'm hoping Allah Ta'ala matches you that too, and Allah wants the same with you. So when you, and subhanAllah, and think about this for yourself, is that when I decided to learn Islam or study Islam or do my dhikr or pray salah, Allah wanted the same thing for me. And so that's why it happened. That's tawfiq. And so when I, and another way of thinking about tawfiq is when I say something, I am blessed to do it as well. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ شُعَيْبَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ telling his people, if you're thinking I'm such a great person, it's not because of me, it's because of Allah. And so whenever I could say something to you, Allah blessed me that I could do it as well. This is another type of tawfiq. When you and I are so blessed by Allah, we speak about Islam, yet we practice Islam as well. And all of it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's our gratitude and our blessing. And I want everyone just to think just for a single moment about how blessed we are. And think about all these things. Obviously, food and drink and shelter and life, you know, just the fact that you're living is such a blessing. But the fact that you can practice Islam, you know, you're living in a country with such freedom of religion that other people in the world would crave to be in our spots. That they would love to practice Islam the way we can practice Islam. And then just think about how sad it is that we're still not able to practice. No, we should think for ourselves, Ya Allah, please, Ya Allah, grant me tawfiq. That I want to be a person who practices Islam. I'm going to get up today. Today is the day. I'm going to make it happen. You know, if it was a day that I could not grow my beard, now it's going to be the day, inshallah. You know, I didn't wear my hijab. Now is the day. I'm going to do it. I'm going to take care of everything now of Islam. Yes, we've got to think about how blessed we are. Shu'aib alayhi was telling them, guys, it's not about me. It's about Allah. And think about the blessing that we away from sins. We don't want, you know, to perform sins. And Allah also matches the same thing. And says, no, I don't want it as well. So you will stay away from the sin. This is all part of tawfiq. There's no praise in it for me. It's all Allah. Shu'aib alayhi salam, he's telling them that, guys, you're in Madian. You're getting this travel and business. It's not because of you guys. It's because Allah Ta'ala put us here. Allah gave us our minds and hearts. Allah gave us our eyes and our ears. Allah gave us absolutely everything. You know, it'll only be what? Alayhi tawakkalt. On him I place my trust. If you're going to trust anyone in life, it seems like the one who gave you everything is a person that you can trust. Right? If Allah has given me everything, has not asked me, you know, and he doesn't ask me, you know, to give him things from my side, you know, except that it will benefit me, right? So if Allah is only benefiting me, it only makes sense that I should trust him. وَإِلَيْهِ unib. If you're telling me about who should I return to, who should I go to? I'm only going to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shu'aib alayhi salam makes it very clear. It's not like I needed you. Please don't misunderstand, O people of Madian. Please don't understand. I didn't need you. On the day of judgment, it's not going to come up the question of, you know, was I, you know, how many people accepted Islam? The question will come is, did I deliver the message properly? I don't need you guys. Please don't misunderstand. I only need Allah. And it's a strong reminder from him to the people of Madian that the same way I'm heading back to, you know, to Allah, ilayhi unib, same thing is going to happen to you. So please take a reminder here. Take a lesson that the same way I am going to go back to Allah, you also have to go back to Allah Ta'ala one day. So he gives him that strong reminder. He tells him about tawfiq and he tells him so many things. There's just one extra part about his message, and inshallah we'll cover it tomorrow. And we'll, may Allah allow us to benefit more from the lessons of Shu'aib alayhi's people, allow us to become people who are grateful to Allah and thank Allah Ta'ala for our blessings, inshallah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum.